You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here with David Ramil. And Locked On Heat is presented by Indochino. Indochino is the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. This week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369. You can get that at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. We'll have Culture Radio toward the end of the show, but we obviously have more pressing matters to get to, namely Dwayne Wade teasing a potential comeback here. In an interview with the LA Times, Wade revealed that he plans to help LeBron in his pregame workouts and routines with the Lakers this season, and when asked about the potential return to the NBA, he said, quote, "never say never." Now, he later clarified things on Twitter, saying he is retired as F, but I don't know about you, David. I'm not going to rule it out.
I have to. Like, I know a lot of signs point to him coming back, but man, given what went last year, what went down last year, and the kind of rigmarole that he went through on a game-to-game basis, like all these cities thanking him and video production and everything else like that, to be what, the ninth man off, you know, off the bench in LA.
So you see that as an obstacle to him coming back. I almost see it as that would be the reason he would come back, because he only has to be the ninth guy.
I no, because to me, part of what fueled last year was, one, he's back in Miami for a full season now after the departure to Chicago, the trade to Cleveland, and then coming back for half a season after the trade to back to Miami. He had a full year, as he told me, as he said publicly in other places a number of times, to write his own story, to close it out, to get everything just right, to enjoy the moment again for 82 full games, and unfortunately not the playoffs, but just to be a part of that again and to get the fans to bask in the glory and the warmth of Heat fans, and then to go, psych, I really just want to play with my boy LeBron. I like, he did it again in Cleveland. Like, they were miserable, right, in Cleveland. You know, that was a really not fun team. You know, there was so much pressure there on LeBron and what was his last year with the Cavaliers. The health of that team was falling apart. There was so much tension there with Derrick Rose.
That seems so different than what this Anthony Davis Lakers team seems to have more juice, a little bit more fuel now that they have acquired Anthony Davis. I wonder if, look, Dwayne Wade maybe is hanging out in L.A., doing his thing, and 40 games into the year, it looks like the Lakers really have something. No. Maybe they can use one more ball handle off the bench.
No, like, that's, you can't, like, if you can't, I mean, that would be, like, even keeping in shape, you know, with his trainer, and maybe, you know, helping Josh Hart on how to, you know, back down towards the basket and things like that. I mean, these kinds of things are great. It's not the same thing as an NBA training camp, which he's not going to attend.
It sounds like you don't want him coming back.
No, I certainly don't. I think it would be, I think it would be a slap to the fans and everything else. I mean, yeah, he was getting love in 29 other cities. And this is, as we've talked a number of times, about a player that maybe his popularity had waned, and maybe some people even outright disliked him, and yet he was getting warmly received in 29 other cities. I think for him to go, yeah, you know, I kind of still want to play again. Again, after having played with LeBron in Miami for 4 years, having played with him in Cleveland disastrously for 6 months, like, I just don't see what the appeal would be, especially if you're coming off the bench. You're not going to be much of a factor. And if it's just from LeBron's perspective, just to have somebody that I feel comfortable with on road trips, hell, I mean, you can get Channing Frye for that. You can get somebody else. You could probably negotiate a trade with Kyle Korver or anybody else, somebody that knows you and knows your system. I mean, for that, you could ask them to kind of swing a deal for Chris Paul or something. I mean, Carmelo Anthony's available and ready for a comeback. All these things play against the idea of Dwayne coming back for what would be, I don't know, a very, very small version of the player that he was last year and the whole spectacle of everything that we enjoyed last season.
Well, you mentioned he wanted to write his own story. We even at some point said that he didn't even think he might go back, but he was sort of convinced to go back and write that final chapter of his so-called book there. But And now that he's living in LA, he's living in Hollywood, he's married to a Hollywood actress, and maybe, hopefully, he's smart enough to see, like, this is the best way to end my movie, was the way I did it, the way I went out, was just perfect. I mean, him coming back would be the Rambo sequel that's coming out that nobody wants. I mean, it would just be like, why are we, nobody wants to go see this. Why are we doing this? So, I don't want him to come back, and I think he was sort of just teasing with the LA Times piece when he says, never say never. It's just so easy to do that. I mean, I'm surprised athletes don't do that more. I really am, because it's so easy. And then he immediately went on Twitter and immediately went to his Instagram and did all the things on social media. Like, I'm not going back, I'm not coming back, I'm not coming back. I believe all of the things where he said, I'm not coming back, versus the one sort of, like, tongue-in-cheek thing that he said. And even in the piece, he kind of said it was, he said it with a smirk. I don't think
I will offer this. Yeah. In Orlando for the Junior NBA World Championship, he talked to reporters, you know, we asked him about retirement, and he said he was happy in retirement. What else is he going to say? He also acknowledged something that we probably could have predicted, was that once training camp opens at the end, or the start of October, rather, you know, he'll get that kind of buzz a little bit, because that's just what happens. Like, you start gearing up, you take a couple weeks off after the season ends, whatever it does, you kind of rest your knees, let the inflammation go down, and then from that point forward, you're pretty much back in the gym. Yeah. But you're slowly ramping up, building towards something, and we've already seen him working out.
Yeah,
when October rolls around, when October rolls around, he's gonna get an itch. He's gonna feel, and this is where it's gonna hit him, I think, you know, internally more.
But
than
it sounds like
else.
He already knows that, and that's why he's already planning to be in the arena. I think he just wants to go to the office. You know, like that, my grandpa did this for years and years and years after he retired. He would go back to the office and just sort of, you know, file some mail and talk to the people that he knew and just like sort of help out wherever he could. Just he wanted to be in the office. He just wanted to be around the people that he knew and had been working with for years. And that's basically what Dwayne Wade's doing. He's going to show up at the office early. He's going to rebound for LeBron or whatever that's going to be and work out with him. And obviously their kids are going to the same high school in LA. He's going to be around the game. He's been around the game all summer. If you didn't know that Dwayne Wade was retired, the only thing that would be glaring would be how much he's drinking this offseason based off of his Instagram story. You'd be like, whoa, maybe he should cool it. But everything else looks normal. He's in the gym working out all the time. He's playing ball all the time. I mean, and he said he wants to be in shape just because he likes to stay in shape. And this is the only shape he knows is basketball shape. So I teased it at the beginning of the show. I ultimately don't think that he's going to come back. Again, I won't ever rule anything out in this league. Like, I just won't. However, I'd be shocked if he did, because it did seem like he had this whole thing lined up and planned the right way. And I do hope that this little taste of basketball when he goes and works out with LeBron and does all these things off the court that he does is enough to just sort of scratch that itch that you were talking about.
But even, you know, we were talking about this before we started recording about in context of this piece, and, you know, what does that even entail? Like, pregame workouts and routines and things of that sort. It's like, he'd have to be either hired as part of the coaching staff, or he'd have to get, like, credentials, just to walk courtside. He's Dwayne Wade, obviously, and Staples Center security isn't going to, like, hold him off, or else they're likely to get fired, you know, once
he'll get
LeBron
one of those agent credentials, right?
Maybe, like, okay, fine. So either way, he'll have to get some kind of authorization for him to walk on the court. Is he going to go there in warm-ups? Is he going to dress in like, sneakers and a tearaway suit? Well, is he going to, I mean, what's he going to do out there? Like, all of this is so awkward.
That's exactly what we're going to talk about in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Post Malone might be the biggest rock star in music right now. His new album came out Friday. We'll talk about that later on in Culture Radio. But we got to continue this conversation about Dwayne Wade. You brought up the question, what does it look like? What is he wearing courtside? What is he doing? Because we know Dwayne Wade wearing courtside is usually flashy when he's not playing, right? Capri pants, suits, green outfits, crazy hair, great sunglasses, the whole shebang. I doubt he's going to be wearing capri pants and also helping LeBron James warm up. He could actually enter the game. He could do the fashion runway, David, and go to the locker room and change into warm-ups to help LeBron.
You think Frank Vogel's just going to be like, sure, Bron? No. If he does, like, this is, I forgot to coach now. I mean, you're going to kill me for this, and I know this sounds like terrible radio. I'll never forget a player I want to say for the old ABA Pacers. It was talking about the locker room situation, and this is that far back where, you know, a coach said, you know, guys, you can't smoke cigarettes in the locker room anymore. This was at that point in time when guys mm-hmm. would still smoke or maybe even have a beer, at halftime. But he would always smoke. This one particular player would always smoke at halftime, and the coach lukewarmly said, oh, you know, guys, please don't smoke in the locker room anymore. And the star player said, oh, hey, coach, I've always smoked in between, you know, quarters. This is just who I am. I've always done it. And the coach said, okay, but only you can do it. And right there and then, obviously, lost an incredible amount of respect. Like, you know, you can't just give in to one player, which is, you know, one of the things.
But I would not call Dwayne Wade in the first place. I would not call Dwayne Wade a locker room cancer.
But your locker room is your locker room as the coach, and you have a certain level of expectation there.
Yeah.
The other thing is he going to go to the bathroom? Are you like going to walk down to the restroom?
Some arenas have the coaches' changing room.
Yeah, you can't have Dwayne Wade going in there either. It's like, hey, Frank, thanks for showing me your junk. I'm going to go out there and warm up for LeBron. I mean, no. I mean, Jason Kidd's going to be there. I mean, look.
Jason Kidd probably wouldn't have a problem with it. That's exactly how Jason Kidd wins over LeBron James, who eventually overthrows Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel's be like, this is insane. Dwayne Wade is a spectator. He cannot come into our locker room. And Jason Kidd's going to be like, hey, Dwayne, come to the coach's changes room. We'll get it done there. And LeBron's like, Jason really gets me. Frank doesn't understand it. And then boom.
Oh, as a former player, you know, a guy who they've been on the All-Star roster with together. Yep. Oh.
This is how it starts.
This is a terrible, a malicious coup d'etat that you're planning here. And you're absolutely right. This is exactly how it could play out.
That's going to do it. All right. How else does it look? Because Dwayne Wade warming up. Like, I'm excited for that. Really?
No.
You're not?
No.
Oh, come on. The Lakers are going to be on ESPN 30 times this year. They're going to show it every single time if Dwayne Wade is there. They're going to film it and show it during the little 15-minute pregame broadcast every single broadcast.
Well, you know who else lives in Los Angeles now? It's Chris Bosh.
A lot of people live in Los Angeles now. But, Chris Bosh. Yeah, so get the whole big three. Chris Bosh is definitely doing it. He's just going to show up. Cameo. He's just going to pop up from the bottom of the camera angle and just pop up and rebound for LeBron. And it's just going to be the original big three there.
Is nothing sacred anymore? I mean...
No. Nothing is sacred. I thought we knew that already.
All right.
Didn't we know that? I can't believe you're not excited for that. I want Dwayne Wade in my life as much as possible, as long as it means he's not actually playing anymore. That would be a complete disaster. It would be a complete disaster if he played again. But I want him to get to as close to the court and as close to actually playing as possible. That I'm okay with.
You see, like, I mean, we're seeing Chris Bosh at the Heat facility, working out with Bam Adebayo, giving dap up to Goran Dragic, kind of hugging it out with Spo. He's back in American Airlines Arena. He's welcome back. He's always welcome back there. That's a different thing than pregame routines, which is what maybe just Dwayne misspoke. But, like, we know what goes on. We're there hours before the game for press conferences and warm-ups and everything else like that. We see how it all plays out. I have a hard time imagining Dwayne Wade and warm-ups, his own, presumably, because they're not going to give him Lakers-issued warm-ups.
No, they're going to be Way of Wade warm-ups, and they're going to be Lakers-colored.
You're having way too much fun with this.
I'm having so much fun with this. I am having too much fun. You're right.
I am apoplectic with this. I the concept of it is just like I'm not a big like. Well, that's not what we did back in my day. I don't want.
But you're gonna have Dwayne Wade in his Way of Wade warm-ups setting ghost screens for LeBron and then bounce passing into him on the pick and roll versus a chair, and it's going to be unbelievably great.
But we've also seen LeBron warm up, and nobody is more faux locked in than LeBron James during pregame warm-ups. Like, he's got his beats set to whatever imaginary volume he can only hear, where he's locked everything out, and he doesn't pay attention to anyone or anything, and he's just uber-focused on what's going on. You think he's going to be all of a sudden, like, he's going to shed that and be like, man, I don't give a damn, and just have Dwayne feed him passes? Like, that's not who LeBron...
Yes.
This is just
and every single one of LeBron's teammates are going to be looking at him and Dwayne Wade and be like, What does he have that I don't have?
Why can't we have that kind of relationship?
Right.
That's not going to create any kind of divisiveness.
He is a decade older than everybody on that team, except for Rondo, who sucks.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. Rajon Rondo hates Dwayne Wade. They were teammates in Chicago and hated each other. Like, you're going to go in there
now,
and be like...
Now you have to be excited for Dwayne Wade to be in that locker room. Blow it up!
Wow.
Get Rondo traded. If Dwayne Wade gets Rondo traded without even being on the team... I mean, that has to be the final line on his...
The Instagram subtweet there where he kind of like says, my vets don't show up at games beforehand to just toss the ball around. You know, my vets stay retired kind of thing.
I'm so excited. I don't know how you're saying all the things that are making me excited, and they're the reasons you are not excited. We agree about so many things on this show, but these are the things that we are just diametrically opposed. We have no common ground here, do we?
The drama of it? I mean, like, I know the recent Antonio Brown stuff in Oakland and the comparisons to the NFL and the NBA. And it's like, dude, obviously a lot of people feel pretty strongly that the NBA is a far more drama-wrought league than the NFL is.
Good kind of drama, yes.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, obviously. It's woefully, short of domestic violence issues and that kind of, that's not, doesn't fall into drama. It should fall into some other category.
That's correct.
But at the same time, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I guess that's kind of fun. What
do you want to see from Dwayne Wade? Because we do know he'll be courtside for games.
He said he'll fly to Miami
and be courtside for a few of those games.
I want the exact opposite. I want, like, supremely fat Dwayne Wade.
You just want him to get fat?
I do. I want him to get fat.
Gabrielle Union has a problem with you.
That's fine. I'm sure she probably would have lots of problems with lots of people. But yeah, I want him to get, like, we've seen, like, players kind of, like, plump up 10, 15 years down the road. I mean, yeah. I was in Charlotte and saw Horace Grant, and man, whew, he was double the player he ever was. I'll tell you that much. He's gone healthy. I want to see Dwayne Wade just, like, fall apart, like big fat Dwayne Wade.
You are and I are completely in disagreement over this. I literally just want Dwayne Wade throwing off the backboard alley-oops to LeBron pregame, and you just want him eating donuts.
I do. Like, I want the cameras to capture him courtside and be like, hey, does Dwayne put on weight? And then by the time they make the Western Conference Finals, he's just bursting out, like belly button popping underneath his shirt. Like, those aren't capris. They're the same size pants that he's always worn. They just don't fit him anymore.
It's terrible. Culture Radio is next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember, listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts if you're on iTunes. Rate us, review us, say nice things about us. This is Culture Radio, our attempt here during the offseason to branch out and show our listeners that we're cultured, that we know about other things other than basketball. And I wanted to bring in the new Post Malone album, because, first of all, it's a great album. It's his third full studio album. I wanted to get your thoughts on Post Malone and start there, because I know that you've heard of him. I know that you have heard of him, and that is going to prove the point that I want to make here in a second.
Well, you're laughing as you're introducing this,
yes.
Because you already know that I have no idea of any kind of discography related to Post Malone. As I mentioned to you beforehand, my wife even mentions Post Malone as kind of the generic umbrella for any new rapper that she's never heard of. Like, I could mention that Kendrick Lamar, and she's like, oh, is he a Post Malone? And in fact, not only that, but she, in fact, when I mentioned that you were going to be bringing up Post Malone today's podcast, she said, oh, Post-it Malone? So, Post-it Malone, she was all excited about Post-it Fest, which is apparently the new Posty Fest. He's got his own festival going on.
They all have their own festivals now. It's what you got to do.
That's not true. You don't just have your own festival. Like,
sure.
I mean,
how hard
back
is
in my
to do
day,
a festival?
Well, back in my day, it was like Lollapalooza. It was like a common ground. Those are other organizers, and you're kind of just like a band that's highlighting maybe the headlining act or something like that. But
so yeah,
he's got
his own festival. Tyler the Creator does this, and it's a similar thing to Lollapalooza where they'll bring in other acts. Like, they are not the sole act, but. You know, they just
they
hire some third party company to do it, and they're like, hey, I'll be the headliner. These are the other people that I got on board that want to do it. These are my friends that I also want opening up for the whole thing. Make it happen in this park.
Here's a question for you now that you just kind of, I guess, brought up. But what concert did you go see? And then what unexpected performer actually came on stage in the middle of the performer? Like you were at a show for blank.
It's never
and
happened
all of a sudden
to me.
Blank comes
it's
up.
It's never happened to me. And it drives me insane. It is literally, David, it is literally the thing I hope for every single time I go to a concert, regardless of the show I go to, is that somebody shows up on stage. And I'm in San Francisco. This should have happened by now. And hasn't. It hasn't. I even went to this was maybe a month or two ago. I went to this dive bar in Oakland hoping to see, I think I told you this, but I don't know if I shared this on the show, hoping to see Green Day just perform a surprise show, and they didn't do it. So I even put myself in I go to places I don't even want to be in just for the opportunity to be surprised, and it hasn't happened to me yet. What's your favorite thing that ever, like, of that?
Well, I was at a Santana concert.
Ooh, I always wanted to see him.
He was fantastic, and halfway through, Prince comes out and jams for like 20 minutes. Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous.
What?
It was, yeah, Prince.
Where was this?
Is in Miami. In Miami, yeah, at Santana show, and Prince comes out for 20 minutes and just, I think he played the solo in Black Magic Woman. It was ridiculous.
Oh,
it was just,
that'd be the greatest concert you've ever seen.
It was a really good one. I've been to some pretty phenomenal shows. I mean, you know where my tastes run as far as rock music is concerned, and I've seen some pretty good ones. I mean, I was also at a Fish show once, and Blues Traveler came on. John Popper came on.
Oh, that's pretty
and
great.
Played with them. Yeah, that was. I ate Trey Anastasio guitar solo mixed in there with John Popper on harmonica. That was pretty good. And I was in a state of mind to really appreciate such things. And I've had a few. I'm trying to recall off the top of my head. I think Pearl Jam and Anthony Kiedis came out once. Chris Cornell came out in the middle for a Pearl Jam set too. Oh, that was R.I.P. pretty good. So I've had some pretty good luck in that regard. Sorry, man.
I've had zero.
Yeah,
they're all organized now. Like the surprise, and I'm not saying the surprise thing never happens, but it just doesn't seem to happen as much. I don't know. It just
more build up on social media or something like that. Yeah, you want to have, or conversely, maybe it's just like maybe you would show up at random bar X, and then just play a show and hope that nobody actually notices that you're there.
I've seen John Mayer play with the Grateful Dead, but that wasn't a surprise. That was literally the tour. Yeah, this Dead and Company tour. I have seen. That's about it. That's the only thing. Those are the only things I've ever seen of two different people being on the stage at the same time that did two different things. Not even. I went to Outside Lands, and you could have thought that it's a whole festival of musicians, and one person could have easily just jumped on the stage with another and said, "Hey, I'm here. Let's just do something." And none of that. Nothing. I just think everything's so planned now.
I think there has to be either like an incredible level of like superstar respect, like, you know, obviously Prince and Santana probably have done all sorts of drugs backstage at the Grammys at some point, or like, you know what, come on down, you're in town, whatever, or you're going to be playing here the next night or something like that. You know, come on stage, come to the show, we'll see what happens. Or maybe if it's small enough, maybe they're just friendly off stage, you know, and maybe they're on tour together, and maybe that's the whole thing. If it's like a Lollapalooza, or at least the way Lollapalooza used to be constructed, where, you know, you were touring from city to city with the same rotation of bands, you know, you kind of develop a friendship, and maybe, you know, one of those people comes on stage during your set and vice versa in the next city. I mean, it kind of worked out.
I feel like so many of these guys are friends, but it's like I feel like rock music isn't where it was years ago. And the predominant music of pop culture is rap and hip hop music, and so many of the feature thing is so built into what makes rap and hip hop so popular that they don't need to just jump onto stage together. I mean, Young Thug and Gunna could be on an entire album together. They could do whole, you know, sprawling 20 tracks of music together, you know, and Future is on every single thing. You don't even necessarily expect him to pop up on stage because his voice is, you know, blaring through the boombox speakers at every concert of every song that he's featured on. So maybe that's part
of
it.
That's in the recording. That's in the recording of these songs and the release. Yeah, I mean,
and I've seen like Drake pop up in concerts. He'll do that every once in a while because Drake loves attention.
Yes, he does. So that's another issue. Then is that in terms of, you know, hip hop how are those shows, like, I can't imagine what a hip-hop show
it varies would be wildly like. It varies wildly, because if you have I've seen shows of artists that I've really liked and hated the concert because they'll basically just phone it in, because you can really easily phone it in, because you don't have to play a an instrument. You can just sort of play the music and lip sync over it pretty easily, and I've seen that before and have been really disappointed. I will say that what makes to me a good rap concert is the energy, is when they do just change up the song and make it more of a rock and roll song. That to me, like when they bring out the drums and the guitars and the bass and all this stuff, and they're still playing, you know, the synths and the things like that that make the beat, but they're also banging the drums. Like they have a drummer, they have somebody there, or they even have a DJ playing all that stuff. In addition to the instruments, those have been by far the best shows I've ever seen. I saw Jay-Z in Oakland, and that was incredible because he had a live band doing all of his music, and then of course Jay-Z just, you know, without a single mistake, going through his you know, glorious discography one song at a time. That was incredible.
Right.
I saw Denzel Curry, who many Miami fans will know because he's from South Florida. He's from Carroll City. I saw him at Outside the Lands. That was one of the best shows I saw there because he had so much energy. It was just, he was a rock star on that stage with the energy that he was playing with. And so I appreciate that. That's what makes a good show.
Yeah. Worst show you've ever been to, do you remember?
Worst, just concert in general?
Yeah.
Bon Jovi.
Ooh.
John Bon Jovi, I literally fell asleep.
Oh, well, that sounds like a different thing.
No.
I mean, was he a bad performer, or is
terrible.
Just like you were tired?
Just totally phoned. No. I was wide awake at first, and he put me to sleep. I was ready for the rock concert. I had a cup of coffee, ready to go. And he took a wardrobe break after every other song because he had to change.
No way.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievably bad. It was terrible.
Horrible.
Yeah. And I loved. I grew up with like classic rock, like Slippery When Wet was always playing. I loved that album.
God.
And wow. I went to that show, and I've never listened to John Bon Jovi since. Haven't listened to a single song by Bon Jovi since. Living on a Prayer, get out of here. Don't need it.
You won't even sing it in karaoke? You're not even drunk as a skunk?
I leave. I leave every karaoke bar when they start playing. It's that one and anything by Journey, I'm out. Get out of here.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Journey. Okay. Yeah, that's don't stop believing in the fact that John Bon Jovi sucks.
What's your karaoke song?
Oh, well, I mean, so many. It depends on depends on the state of mind, but
well, you got to read the room, of course.
Well, I don't know. I'm really bad at that, and usually I'm too pissed drunk to actually even care about reading anything. I tend to stick to my genre, which is more '90s grunge, so a lot of Pearl Jam and Red Hot.
It's pretty good. If you could pull off the Pearl Jam,
oh,
Eddie Vedder vocals.
I nail it.
I bet
I'm
you
awesome.
Do.
I mean, depends on what state of mind I'm in, but generally, yeah, I think I'm awesome. Everybody else might be crying, but that's up to them. I don't care. It's not what karaoke's all about. You do it for yourself. You don't do it for the joy of others. Who cares?
That's right. That's it for today. We're done talking about this. You can connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLEAT. Email us at lockedoneat@gmail.com. We have Sports Illustrated's Rob Mahoney coming up next later in the week, and we'll have a few more shows for you this week. We're looking more of a jam-packed week than usual, David. We got some stuff to talk about. We'll have a mailbag, all that kind of fun stuff. Thanks for listening, and thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes. Yeah!